The sermon today is more of a review and the outline of the book of Esther and what Esther had done in her life as was recorded in the Bible. You can find the book of Esther for most of us in the Bible on page 542. Most Bibles here in front of you, it should be found, but it is on page 542. Shall we have a prayer? Lord, please give the words that I have to speak meaning, and may you speak through me as just a humble servant. Thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings that you bestow and giving us the book of Esther so we may learn. In Jesus we ask. Amen. The story of Esther, set after the Babylonian exile, when Persia rules over Judea, is that of a Jewish maiden who becomes queen of Persia. We start with a six-month, 180-day drinking fest given by King Ahasuerus for the army of Persia and Media, for the civil servants and princes in the 127 provinces of his kingdom, at the conclusion of which a seven-day drinking fest for the inhabitants of Shushan, rich and poor, with a separate drinking fest for the women organized by Queen Vashti in the pavilion of the royal courtyard. Queen Vashti, her name meaning beauty or goodness, the wife of King Ahasuerus. Vashti was the granddaughter of King Nebuchadnezzar II of Babylon, the granddaughter of King Allamurdech, and the daughter of King Belshazzar. We find that Queen Vashti refuses to obey the king's request that she show off her beauty in the banquet hall of the palace of Shushan. King Ahasuerus, also known as Xerxes I, 486 to 465 BC, his heart merry with wine outside in the gardens for the palace feast in Susa, orders that Queen Vashti, who is holding a separate feast for the women, come and present herself. The king wants to show off her beauty, for she is beautiful to look at. But Queen Vashti refuses to appear, infuriating King Ahasuerus, who asks his wise men what action to take, Esther 1 through 5. What was determined is that Queen Vashti must go. I found that this meaning was she was removed from the king's sight and never again brought to her husband. And in some other references, I found she was executed by some way. The wise men said, "What if all women everywhere follow her example and start disobeying their husbands?" So what was thought? Let fair young virgins be sought for the king. The wise men advised, let them be brought to the eunuch Haggai in charge of the royal harem and be given their cosmetics. And let the maiden who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. This beautifying process was that young virgins undergo 12 months of beautification, as follows: 6 months of oil and myrrh, and 6 months with spices and other sweet cosmetics for women. So we find King Ahasuerus does a decree, and one of the many virgins brought to the palace and placed in Haggai's care is one girl, is a fair and beautiful Jewish girl. She is Esther, star, and her Jewish name, Hadasha, the adopted daughter of her cousin Mordecai, a Benjamite, and one of the captives taken from Jerusalem by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. Esther wasn't born into royalty, She was an orphaned slave girl, raised by her cousin Mordecai. Her mother and father had both died when she was young, very possible because of the Babylonian exile. So we find Esther and the other virgins undergo 12 months of beautification as they go to prepare and place themselves in front of the king. The eunuch Haggai is so pleased with Esther that Haggai gives her the best living quarters. The maiden is very much pleased by him. She obtained his kindness, and he speedily gave her things for purification, with such things as belong to her and her seven maidens, which were meant to be given her so she could please the king and go to the king's house. When Esther's turn comes to see the king, Haggai gives her some advice, and then she is taken to King Ahasuerus. The king delights in her indeed, loving Esther above all the others. Ahasuerus thus crowns Esther queen, replacing Vashti. Esther 2:12-17. While everything seemingly was going great for Esther inside the palace, things were not so great for her cousin Mordecai. The king made Haman, a descendant of Agag, second in command, second only to the king himself. Haggai, we learn, loved the position and power he now possessed. He felt especially important when the people bowed to him. Everyone bowed. Everyone except Mordecai, the Jew. Mordecai, after Queen Vashti was removed, was then promoted to an office in the court and was one of those who sat in the king's gate. While holding this office, he discovered a plot of two eunuchs to put the king to death, which by his vigilance was defeated. His service to the king in this matter was recorded in the royal chronicles. But Mordecai refused to bow down before Haman, and Haman, being stung by the conduct of Mordecai, resolved to accomplish his death in a destruction of him and of every Jewish exile throughout the Persian Empire. Mordecai realized that the Persians worshipped their gods through their rulers, and it would be wrong for him to worship them that way too. The king's servants knew Mordecai was a Jew and reported his disobedience to Haman. This made Haman furious. How dare a Jew refuse to worship him? Instead of punishing Mordecai, however, he decided to plot against the Jews, to take the Jews and kill them throughout the kingdom. He told the king, "Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain." Haman offered the king 10,000 talents of silver for having the Jews destroyed. Haman and his cohorts cast lots to decide an appropriate date for the death decree. These lots were called Purim, the month to decide the best day for the massacre. The lots landed on the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, on the Jewish calendar, giving the Jews 11 months to live. As we have learned, Haman approached the king about a certain people in the kingdom who are different from others and do not obey the king's laws. Haman offered a fabulous sum as a bribe to be paid to the king officials if the king would issue a decree that these people were destroyed. King Ahasuerus, as we learn, turns down the bribe, but authorizes Haman to do with the people as it seems good to do. Esther 3:1-11. And the unsuspecting Ahasuerus agrees to Haman's plan, never dreaming his beloved queen, could be murdered too. Here the plot involves old enmity between the Hebrews and the Amalekites, going back to the time of Moses, Exodus 17:16, Numbers 24:20, and Deuteronomy 25:17. This hatred culminated in Israel's Benjamite king, Saul, personally hacking to pieces the Amalekite king Agag after Saul's defeat and slaughter of the Amalekites by order of the Lord God of Israel, 1 Samuel 15, 1-33. Mordecai is a Benjamite, and Haman is a descendant of Agag. It is important for us to know that Esther was instructed from Mordecai not to tell of her Jewish nationality. She was silent, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not tell it when she parted from him. The king signed a decree giving Haman possession of destroying the Jews. Now learning this, Mordecai was overwhelmed when he saw the document. He tore his clothes and put on rough sackcloth as a sign of deep sadness. He began to pray a deep, sincere prayer that cried out to heaven for God's help. No one was allowed inside the palace gates wearing sackcloth. But Esther's servants brought her the sad news. "Something is wrong with your cousin. He is in deep mourning." Mordecai refused the clothes Esther sent him. She knew something really had to be wrong when the clothes didn't cheer him up. She told Hatachi, her personal servant, to find out what was going on. Mordecai explained Haman's wicked plan to kill the Jews. He even sent a copy of the king's decree to Esther, so Esther could see it for herself. "Please tell Esther to tell the king to save our people." But that was impossible. She couldn't go to the king unless he requested her presence. Without permission, it could mean her death. The king had not requested her presence for 30 days. She was sure Mordecai would understand. Her life was at stake. But Mordecai insisted, "Don't think just because you're in a palace, you will escape. If you don't say something, God will use someone else to rescue his people. But maybe, just maybe, God has allowed you to be in the palace for such a time as this." Was this part of God's plan? We can ask today, what does the meaning of the Bible, Esther 4:14, mean for us for this time on earth? What if we were in a position of importance? Would we go? What if we were in a position of no importance, but we could make a difference in a person's life? We could tell them about God's plan, about the Bible, a salvation from our sins. A question we might ask, would we step up to a life's course we have in front of us? Would we follow the Bible and tell others about Jesus? Should we? Would God have others replace us doing the Great Commission and not for us to do? No. We can do our part, as did Esther. We may not be called to save many. We may be called to only save one. And it is not our choice, and it is our choice to do so. Time is passing. We have heard about the end signs, seen the signs of the end of ages. We look for an end to all suffering and pray for the end. We know of wars and see the Middle East in turmoil again in the start of 2009. We should not wait for others to do the work. Let us win souls for Jesus. Esther then asked Mordecai to have all the Jews fast for 3 days, and she will do so with her court, and then go to king unsummoned, despite the law against it. If I perish, Esther says, I perish. Esther 4:16. What faith for a young lady to have, born in exile, father and mother dead, raised by a cousin. Alone, really, if you think about it, in the palace of a king that just let go his last queen, talking back and forth, using a servant as in between her cousin. Alone, what faith? If I perish, Esther says, I perish. Have we the faith of Esther? Could you fit into her shoes? Would you say yes? The question can really bite home, as it is said. I know this simple, hard question has for me. We learn Esther did act, and on the third day, Esther goes and stands in the inner court. King Ahasuerus, seeing her, he holds out his golden scepter towards her, which signifies that she has found favor in his sight. Esther approaches and touches the top of the scepter. What wilt thou, Queen Esther? Ahasuerus asks, and what is thy request? Esther asks the king, Ahasuerus, and Haman join her for a dinner that she has prepared for the king. The king agrees, and at the dinner with Esther and Haman, he asks her, what is thy petition, and it shall be granted thee. Esther asks that the king and Haman attend another dinner that she has prepared the following day, at which time she will give the king her petition. In Esther 5:6 it reads, and the king said unto Esther, at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Now after this first dinner, Haman leaves the dinner in high spirits, which are promptly spoiled when he spots Mordecai, who again makes no show of respect. Haman orders that a gallows be constructed, 83 feet high, which he will ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai hanged upon. But during the night, the king, unable to sleep, has the book of meritorious deeds read to him. He hears from the book how Mordecai had informed on 2 eunuchs who were plotting against the king. When he asks, the king is told that Mordecai had received not a reward for his deed. Soon after, the king asks, who is in the court? The king says, wanting advice from any noble available, and who just arrived but Haman? To the man whom the king delights, what shall it be done? The king asks Haman. Haman, thinking that this man is himself, says, the man should be given royal robes and a royal crown to wear, and should be led on horseback through the city square by one of the king's most noble officials, which, it being proclaimed, thus shall it be done for the man whom the king delights to honor. The king tells Haman to make haste and to go to Mordecai the Jew. Haman honors Mordecai as ordered, then hurries home, mourning, and with his head covered. Next, we know that counsel was given to Haman from his wife, Zeresha. His wife says unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fail. Thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. Esther 6:13. Little did Haman know he would fall so soon that day. When the king and Haman later join Esther for dinner, the king again asks Esther, "What is thy petition, queen?" Esther requests that her life and the lives of her people be spared. "But we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and perish." When King Ahasuerus asks who and where is he who would issue such a thing, Esther replies, "The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." Esther 7, 1-6. The king, angry with rage, leaves, and King Ahasuerus goes out into the palace garden. Haman, fearfully pleading with Esther for his life, falls down beside her on the couch, an act the king misinterprets as he returns to the room. "Will he even rape the queen right in front of me, here in my house?" Esther 7:7-8. Esther 7:9, "And Herbal, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, 'Behold also the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman.' Then the king said, 'Hang him thereon.'" Haman, second in the kingdom unto the king, led by Satan, prince of this world, plotting to destroy God's chosen people, lost, and his agent, Haman, had fallen that day. The scripture meditation was Romans 8:31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" We today should think about this. Who really can stand against us? If God, we believe, is for us. Going on the Bible story, Mordecai is given the power that was Haman's and the house of Haman. No law of the Medes and Persians could be changed, as King Ahasuerus made another law giving Jews everywhere permission to gather weapons and protect themselves when the attack from their enemies came. I learned that when that day came, many that were against the Jews lost. Many thousands all over the kingdom were killed or became Jews themselves. In Esther 8:16-17, it reads, The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor, and in every province and in every city where there so the king's commandment and his decree came. The Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Esther 9:2 reads, "The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all of the province of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people." I found this verse, in addition to the Jewish population, very interesting. Because of a fear, people joined a faith. It was, if you can not defeat, then why not join? The brave, beautiful Queen Esther helped to save the Lord's people. She is an important person in history because of her devotion to God. God was able to see her as an instrument to save the Jews at that time. Again and again, this is a story from the Bible that shows us that God has a plan for our lives. And if called, we should go. Time is short. A message must be given. Are we ready to answer? Only you can answer that question. In conclusion, I wish to share a fact that in the Persian, there was a word that I used that was called Purim, and it is found near the ending. Purim, the day of Mordecai, is celebrated by the Jewish community today. Purim means casting lots or throwing dice. When Haman was trying to decide which day the armies should destroy the Jews, he used a fairly similar idea of throwing dice. When God used Esther to save her people, they celebrated with Purim, a celebration which has continued throughout the Jewish history. Purim is a wonderful celebration. It is celebrated on the 14th day of Adar. This is in March. As we know, this month. But the actual day will change depending on the Sabbath. Many activities are part of the Purim celebration. Public reading of the Book of Esther, giving mutual gifts of food and drink, giving charity to the poor, and a meal with celebration. Other customs include drinking wine, wearing of masks and costumes, and public celebration. Purim is an occasion on which much joyous license is permitted within the walls of the synagogue itself. For example, during the public service in many congregations, when the reader of the Mahajaya mentions Haman, which is 54 occurrences, there is boasting, hissing, stamping. Some wrote the names of Haman on their soles of their shoes, and at the mention of the name, stamped their feet as a sight of contempt. Rattling. A rattle on a stick is turned, and a noise is given, and this is called Ra'ashan. The story of Esther is simple, but yet very complex. It gives us an idea that, for us, we live in the end of time. And at the end of time, there'll be a call for many to stand up for Jesus. There'll be two sides, one side for Satan and one side for Jesus. Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer, we give you our lives. We are at times fearful and sometimes fearless. Give us today the strength of Esther. We pray, make us ready for what end, as we know it, we will stand for you. Make us holy. Bring us guidance in this year, for we know not the time we will need to stand upon the promises. Give us a holy Sabbath to continue unto sundown. Help us to be a light unto you in this dark world. Hear our prayer as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.